This is Talking Business.
I'm joined now by Michelle Hardiman, who's the head of global markets for Asia Pacific of State Street. And Michelle is an Australian now based in Hong Kong. G'day, Michelle. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Alan. Great to be here.
Now, perhaps we'd better start by telling us about State Street. And now it's a custody bank. What does that mean?
Well, State Street has been in operation for 226 years, so it's actually one of the oldest financial institutions in the US. And we sort of pushed out in the 70s and then 80s around to make it more of a global institution. A custody bank is a bank that sort of, you know, looks after, stores the assets for their customers. And, you know, we made the decision, you know, originally you were sort of looking at the sort of the back office operations, you're looking at the fund accounting administration, looking at all the sort of back office supporting functions. But progressively we've moved from the back office to the middle office of customers and then in the global markets business really to the front office. So our customers are really typically large investment managers, sovereign wealth funds, hedge funds, anyone involved in the money management business, large asset owners. So obviously, you know, the market in Australia is a very large one with the compulsory superannuation and continues to grow. So that would be our typical customer mix, really. So we're very specific in terms of the services that we provide. We're not a big lending bank. We don't sort of, you know, have a retail business. We don't have, you know, mums and dads that we have accounts for. You know, we really are very, very bespoke in terms of the services that we offer at the very wholesale end of the market, which means that when people talk about State Street, or if you say that you work for State Street in other parts of the world, not Boston, where I've just been living, but people will say, State who? State what? So I think it's it's a really big wholesale bank. You know, we have about 10% of the world's assets under custody. So, you know, we are very large. We are the world's largest custodian. And we have a whole range of solutions, you know, through the investment life cycle for customers that have those requirements.
So I get the back office side of things. When you say front office, what do you mean? How does front office apply to custodianship?
Well, we try and look at the investment life cycle, you know, from a customer's perspective, so that, you know, what is it that you need to do to make a decision about how you invest your money, how you make decisions around what assets you go and invest in, and how do you execute those assets. So in the foreign exchange space, you know, we obviously have a very big electronic execution platform. We have a multi-bank facility where we have customers using products like FX Connect and CurrentX that connect to any other banks apart from State Street as well. So they're sort of, you know, two of the world's leading platforms. We've recently acquired Charles River Development. So this is a real front office solution so that we're really trying to look at the life cycle of our customer right from the beginning of when you make the decision to do a trade, why you make the decision, what factors do you need to be able to see to be able to make that decision, then how you implement, how do you connect to your providers and how do you execute, and then how do you record that book of record, how does it feed to your custodian and then back again. So we sort of try and we're trying to close that full circle of decision making that happens. In the global market space specifically, we've had partnerships with leading academics for a number of years. So we made a decision that we wanted to differentiate ourselves in a way that was very considered. So, you know, you have a choice of forecasting unemployment, forecasting GDP, but there's many banks that do that. You can pop onto Bloomberg and it draws up, you know, 30 different, you know, forecasts all around the same sort of mark. We decided that we would spend a lot of time looking at the big data elements of the information that we have. So we spend a lot of time looking at the flows across asset classes that we see in our custodial business. So at a very highly aggregated level, we can get a sense of whether people are buying European equities or selling Japanese bonds or whether they're hedging those assets, you know. And, you know, our research in our partnership with the Harvard academic at the time sort of indicated that there was information in this price flow, and that was really hugely additive to our customers in terms of making decisions about market positioning, flow, impact, and whether they really really wanted to be making the bet that they were about to make on the markets, particularly in the case of active managers. We've also partnered with, more recently, with a company which was originally known as the Billion Prices Project. So we have a partnership with Professor Roberto Rigobond and Professor Alberto Cavallo, and Roberto's at MIT and Alberto's at now at Harvard. And they basically created a methodology for scraping the internet for billions of prices every day to get a measure of real-time inflation. So, you know, if you think about a front office, if you're a fixed income manager, you know, you're waiting for the quarterly CPI numbers to come out in Australia, you know, we can actually get a sense of whether those prices are moving up or down based on a two-day lag. So, you know, we've been very, very thoughtful about how we try and engage with our customers and doing sort of very unique research. So they're just two examples of the things that we do that are quite different.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Real-time inflation. Goodness me. I had no idea that was going on.
Yeah, and it's been, you know, and if you've, you know, we can, you know, we have different ways that we interact with our customers. We obviously, you know, put out documents where we incorporate it into our strategy pieces and give people indications of, you know, what we think, you know, sort of the next turns will be. But we also have a lot of customers who are very quantitative, so that they actually, what they want is, you know, is indicator points where they can actually drag down the points of data across, and we do it across 24 different countries at the moment, and incorporate it into their models, and then that affects their decision making on their quant models. And you know, after 2007-08, I think a lot of the quant models were sort of, you know, disrupted, blown up, discontinued. But we found that in recent years, in the last two or three years, we're starting to see a lot more evolution of those quant processes. Well, the hedge funds have always been involved very heavily in that. We really, you know, we have a very large hedge fund client base as well that uses those sorts of indicators. So it's, you know, it's exciting, and we do some really terrific things. And we, as I said, we try and think about what's going to add real value to the customer that's just not sort of run of the mill, and that that deals with the wholesale space rather than the retail.
Now, Michelle, I imagine being an Australian in the American financial markets is hard enough, but being a woman as well, it's a very blokey world. How's that gone? I mean, obviously, you've gone very well, and you've risen through the ranks over 20 years and have a terrific job in Hong Kong. But am I right in thinking it's not easy for a woman?
It's not been easy at times. I think that there's decisions that you can make, you know, along the way about how you interact within the sort of markets, businesses. And I think that people are much more aware of it now. And I think, you know, obviously with campaigns such as the Me Too campaign, and, you know, I think that people are more thoughtful about looking at their sort of unconscious bias in terms of how they interact with people and how they conduct themselves. I think that for me, if I talk to women, I say, look, you know, you just have to be who you are. You can't be one of the boys, and being one of the boys is never going to be, you know, where it's going to take you, you know, to be successful. I think that no one will respect you for it if it's not who you are. I mean, if you're someone that sort of works for, then that's, you know, that's fine. But generally speaking, you have to be who you are, and you have to, you know, work hard. I've always enjoyed markets, and so I think that people have really understood that, and that's been really beneficial for me. So, you know, I like watching to see where markets go. You know, I like being engaged in sort of international economics and watching the push and the ebb and flow. And also it's great to be able to overlay the sort of different cultural elements that you see over time, and you start to look at, you know, is it likely that the English will leave the European Union? And what do you think about them culturally, you know, when you're sort of reading all the press reports? And then, you know, other Europeans like to respond a different way? And at the moment, you know, you've obviously got the Trump, you know, China conversation. And how do people respond culturally as well as, you know, financially? So, you know, I think if you're really interested in the work that you do, and you continue to remain interested, then that's half the battle as well.
It's interesting at the moment. You've obviously been living in Boston for a while and experiencing Trump's America. Is it fair to say that these are more tense times between the genders in America than they have been in the past?
I think people are more aware of their behaviour, and I think that they're, where there's been a previous tolerance for certain types of behaviour and a turning of a blind eye, I think the blind eyes are gone now. I think that people have to stand up and be accountable. You know, you have to think, can I conduct myself in the workplace as, you know, as I would at home, and expect, you know, to treat people with respect? You know, I think that it's all walks of life. I think life is such as it is, that, you know, markets and you know, the entertainment industry, obviously there's been a lot of upheaval, but I think that the world has changed now, and I think people have to be much more thoughtful about their gender bias. I mean, I think State Street's you know, in terms of having the Fearless Girl statue down on Wall Street, we've sort of tried to address that in some way. You know, State Street Global Advisors is our asset management arm, And, you know, they place the fielder's squirrel down in front of the ball and it's remained down there. They put it down there at the beginning of, just ahead of International Women's Day in 2017. But it sparked an enormous conversation around shareholder action in terms of gender diversity. So, you know, State Street identified and reached out to over 787 companies in the US, UK and Australia that had no women on their boards. And they wrote a letter and engaged in a campaign asking them to think about their board diversity. I think that generally speaking, you know, it's been proven that that boards and senior management that have more women involved in their businesses typically will outperform their peers. And so that, you know, State Street takes their fiduciary responsibility in that, you know, capacity to seriously in saying that, you know, we feel that, you know, we need as a large investor to be sure that that people are being more thoughtful about these things. So, you know, we are seeing changes and I think that they'll continue to happen. We've seen real progress. I think 152 of these companies have been identified as lacking a single woman director and they've now added a woman to their board and another 34 have pledged to do so. So we're making some real change and I think there's a chorus of people that are joining us.
Obviously, State Street is a force for change. Well, it's been great talking to you, Michelle. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Alan. It's been a great pleasure.
I've been talking to Michelle Hardiman, who's the head of Global Markets Asia Pacific for State Street Bank.